Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Happy Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, Single Awareness Day. I don't know. We're talking about Black Lightning, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This was a really classic moment.
It really was.
This was like from episode 2 when we got our Blaxploitation film on.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're going there. Jefferson is feeling himself this much. Let's do it. I'm excited. I'm ready.
I just fixed my hair on camera. I didn't know if I was okay. I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
Oh, yeah. It was all that.
What's up, guys?
I cannot with you.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Black Lightning After Show. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And I cannot do this without my lovely Valentine's. Ladies, where can I find you all?
Hey, guys. I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. The ladies want to know.
Hey, guys. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey, y'all. It's Portia. You can find me on all social media at Portia Carter. We live, baby.
This song makes me like... just wanna, you know, shimmy. I like listening to stuff like this when I'm like sweeping because it's like,
yeah,
it's sliding around the floor. Alright, I feel like we have so much to get into, so let's just start from the top. Jefferson gets some new tricks with his suit.
That dang near kill him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what the heck is going on? I feel like we're starting to see age, like, hardcore right now. Or is it his age, or is it just the suit sucking all the life out of him?
I think it's the suits and all this extra stuff that Gambi is doing. Because, you know, Gambi, he on that sabotage stuff. But
What? Especially after this episode, you had to drop that theory.
And I feel after this episode, I actually understand what you're saying the whole entire time. Like, I really do. I actually agree with her.
Like,
there's a lot more to Gambi than I thought. And there,
he ain't like, right.
No, but like, no, you did you see like him keeping Tobias was still alive? His whole focus just became about getting Toledo. That seriously was his focus. And like, he kind of forgot about everything else. He is an emotional like person. Sorry to say, but he is.
High five, Joel. We said it.
I beg to differ.
Okay, what do you think?
We got one down.
So, when Jefferson was talking to Jennifer on the couch, he let it be known that, you know, when circumstances happen, what did he say? I wrote this down. He said, how you respond to a crisis is your choice, but you have to recognize your emotions and relegate them. So if he's teaching her that, apparently he's doing it himself. He's regulating his emotions properly, and I think to the right cause. If what he has to do is get Joey Toledo to get the green light crap off the street, then go after him because he's the top dog. He's the one selling it and putting it on every corner.
Nah, this is a total... this is a really great example of do as I tell you, not as
like,
I do,
yes.
Which is the thing my mother said to me all the time. And I'm like, that is such BS.
Do as I say,
like,
not as I do,
like,
yes.
His whole thing, like, even we can push a little bit earlier to when her parents are first addressing her, and he's like, oh, but two girls? Did you really?
That was a proud dad moment.
He just, the whole time, and to your point about the green light, he just... the minute anything bad happens, or the minute it's anything to do with Tobias, he is, like, that direction. Which is, again, is something that you want from your superhero, but something that you need someone else to be like, so we should probably have a strategic plan for how we're going to do with this.
And he had a strategic plan. He went from the bottom all the way up to the top. He went from the bottom last episode from a boy on the corner he didn't even know to find out who was next. And then he get Two Bits or whoever his name
so
was.
No one is
then he's
that.
Going up the chain ladder to try to get who's the start of selling this green light.
No one is saying Jefferson isn't great at his job. Like, he is a really good Black Lightning. There's no one else you want in that suit. But he does need to be direct. He's Lightning. Like, it needs to be funneled into a direction so that it can, like, adequately take things out. The only reason he's able to do those steps to climb ladders is Gambi's like, okay, so here's some information.
Well, because he's finding it out. He's finding it out too at the end of the day. And really, you know, Gambi, he got his own thing going on. He got some other stuff he got in the back that I'm gonna get to later, but because I don't like him. right now. But yeah, my thing is he has made it his business to find the top of the food chain, and that's where he's headed. And at the end of the day, you got to find the top of the food chain to cut it off, so ain't no more supply coming down.
Well, here's my thing, because obviously Jefferson has the kind of obsessive, like, type personality, because he's this whole time having headaches, he's like shorting out, he's like doing damage to his body and not saying anything to anyone, and he just keeps doing it because he's so obsessed with trying to get to Tobias now that he knows Tobias is a thing again.
No,
and we've seen his emotions work against him in the drugstore when he's slapping tables. He's having emotional outbursts. Like, he is not in his best mental state right now for potentially a list of reasons.
Mm-hmm. He's not in his best mental state in this episode at that time in that store because he was battling whatever he was with this new suit he got.
The man literally passed out in the middle of an argument. That means you're not checking in with yourself. That means he's not taking the time to think about what he needs because he's juggling too much, and he can't let anyone in except for Gambi on his secret. It's sort of destroying him. And even as we watch, like, after he passed out, when they're trying to revive him, we see that electricity travels straight to right here, the front of your brain, which is where you store a lot of your emotional stuff. Like, it's just, I promise you, this is true.
All your emotional goods
is like right here, because your center brain is your reptile brain. That's the thing that just drives you. That's your food, your sex, your breathing apparatuses all lie in here. But up here is your more evolved, like, stuff.
He would be acting the same way if it was anybody else who was at the top of the food chain. Just like when he found out it was homeboy.
Girl,
he went after him in the bar.
Because he killed his dad. That's what we learned this episode, is that the whatever actions Tobias took directly affected the reason his father is dead. So I don't think he would be
the
same.
Yes, that affected the reason his father is dead, but he didn't even find out that Tobias was still alive until the middle of this episode. So my thing is, like, whether this was Tobias or Louis, whatever, Joey, whoever it was, he would have still been going after it this way. He's trying to get that stuff off the street. Because before this episode, he was still on the same mission. It had nothing to do with them.
Yes, but as soon as he heard Joey Toledo's name, there was a switch. Like, where all the focus went straight for that. Like,
because he know what's up. He know what's up. He know how powerful and dangerous these people are. When he goes to Joey, he knows that he's Tobias' right-hand man.
In the spirit of, I know how powerful and dangerous you are, the, like, just going in half-cocked without information, which is literally the only reason Gambi is here for you, is to make sure you have adequate information going in. And Gambi himself seems surprised to see Tobias. Like, I just think that the best thing for him to do in this situation would be, like, let me learn more about what's happening, what's coming in and out. He wants to punch his way through issues. It's why Lynn left. Like, you cannot punch your way through all of your problems, which he knows deep down. Like, he's not bereft of this knowledge, but he is not using the knowledge to its fullest power, which is why I found the conversation on the couch with Jess so hilarious, because I was like, bro, that's all you do is react to things. Like, it'll be interesting to see once everyone's in costume and interacting with one another if he's able to continue to push these lessons when they see how he is in the street.
Shout out to Alex D. Figueroa Jr. in the chat. He said, Portia about to fight Gambi herself. Forget Black Lightning. Gambi better watch out for Portia.
I feel like you could take Gambi in a fight, though. Like, I feel like if we squared you and Gambi up, Gambi would be over.
That'd be so dope.
Because he not right.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the whole Gambi situation, because clearly Tobias.
Let's talk about it.
Just stroll right in.
Like, that's his homeboy. Y'all got something going on. And then not only that, Tobias let us in that, you know, Gambi and Lady Eve got some type of cahoots too. So it's just like.
Gambi, what are you doing here? Government type issue thing, because he was like, your contacts in the government, this, that, and the other. So there's a lot more to Gambi than we even thought. Like, we just thought he's a tailor, blah, blah, blah. But no, apparently he's part of something called the ASF.
Well, we were talking about last week the idea that, okay, so Gambi's like, okay, that's cool. Let me go reach out to my contacts. Yeah. And I was like, what is that, Gambi? Like, that's really weird. How do you have so many contacts? And I thought he might be ex-military. That's still definitely an open possibility, which I would really appreciate. I love ex-military guys, like, giving power to civilians. It's an interesting story to tell. Mm-hmm. But I I think, first of all, Gambi was ride or die. He was like, look, he didn't even flinch when he was like, yeah, tell me who Black Lightning is. He's like, I can't help you.
Yeah.
With that. That's so cute that you would ask me, but no, you're getting nothing. And it, not like we're a
but
lot
the
of
the fact that they're, but he's working with him. Like,
he's not working with Tobias because working with Tobias means giving up information. He's like, he legit has, he has his own gun while the dead girl eyes have their own gun. They're about to like pull him out, like duke it out.
And he says, the only thing I'm going to build for you is a coffin. Like, yeah. He's not phased by Tobias, but I think he understands he cannot strong arm Tobias because we just learned Tobias has some kind of serum coursing through him that's making him not age, which means he's probably a very formidable opponent. So it's like, I feel like Gambi's doing the smartest, but like not the most fun thing. He aged to a point and then he stopped. He's going to be this age until anti-serum happens or something. But I like the idea of Gambi.
But the serum gonna do something to him, because Gambi let him know that they ain't tell you all what was in it. Mm-hmm. So the serum gonna do something to him. It's gonna happen to Tobias, and I hope it happens fast.
Yeah, I love Tobias, okay. And this episode only deepened my love for him. But I think, first of all, I want to know what position Gambi has in this organization, because yes. There's a lot of respect for him mm-hmm. on both sides of the law.
Yeah, because Tobias didn't even take him out, like, when he pulled out his gun. Anybody that pulled out a gun, Tobias been quick. Been real quick. Mm-hmm. Like, he ain't even, like, when he approached somebody for a confrontation, period, he's quick to take them out. He's quick to hurt them. He's quick to do something. Like, he was very hesitant with messing with Gambi. So, obviously, there's something going on with that. And even when Tobias went back to his sister and let her know, she like, you know Lady Eve gonna be mad at you about going to see Gambi. Why you doing that? You know what I'm saying? So, obviously, Gambi is in this whole little cahoots of what they got going on, some type of little secret
you
society.
You say cahoots? I think he has a past. Yes. I think Gambi used to play for whoever. Like, again, what a lot of like contract workers will do, it doesn't matter who's paying me so long as that check clears. Yeah. And I think working with Black Lightning might be his way of rectifying his past misdeeds.
Agreed. Also, I mean, when you're the plug, you sometimes have to be in some shady business. If you really want to be the plug and like know stuff, you gotta sometimes dip
but
your
my
toe
thing
in
is
the bad people pond.
Don't have your right hand man playing your plugs. Like, don't have your right hand man trying to go after and
that's
fight
exactly
these people.
What a right hand man is for. Yeah.
But I'm saying though, like, if you're in some type of pact with these people, you know what I'm saying, y'all got a contract and y'all rolling together, do not have Black Lightning going out risking his life, and you know who these people are, you know how powerful they are, and you know that he has a possibility to lose against these type of people. Why would you have them fight them and then not even letting him know that they even exist?
Okay,
like,
so this is my thing about that.
It's a waste of time.
Gambi wants Jeff to be ready to meet that, to be up to that opponent, because Jeff is, like, so laser-focused. He just wants to go straight. But as we've seen this episode, like, doing that is destroying him at the same time. So I agree that Gambi has a plan. He does have a past. But what he's doing is trying to strengthen Jeff to be able to go head-to-head with Tobias when the time comes. Because everybody knows it's going to come. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the most epic battle ever. But until that comes, like, you have to work up to it. You can't just go off half-cocked with no plan.
And then Jefferson is a key, like, much like the pastor was, is could very easily wind up being a martyr for his community, the way he rolls in. Like, when you don't stop and think, when you don't stop to do surveillance, when you don't stay on your freaking targeted truck to figure out where things are coming and going from, you offer yourself up to easily be taken out. I think Gambi's whole thing is, like, if you look at, like, a Jedi, you have the Sith evil, you have Jedi good, and then you have the Grey Jedi, who are the true balance of the Force. I think that's what Gambi is. He is the balance that is necessary between communities in order to figure out, like, how are we going to resolve these issues? How do I get this information? How do I make sure that you stay out of trouble? And the same way, reason he didn't alert him to another superpowered being, because he would have been all over that. Jefferson would be like, who is that? And how do I stop them? And that's not your focus right now, bro. You're one man. You can only do so much.
I agree.
And go ahead. I was going to say, and the ASA was a secret military agency. So my whole thing for that one is, he said he's known Jefferson since he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
So was it before his father or after his father? Because if it was before his father, then obviously the 9 kids that were missing and the serum, that's too much interconnectedness and coincidence for me to be like, nah, dude. Like, what did you, like, either Gambi has something to do with what happened to his dad indirectly, or he's definitely keeping a bigger chunk from, like, their real past behind it. And I'm really curious.
That's okay. Anissa gonna find out for them.
Anissa
That's true.
Is gonna find out for them. What did you all think of the costume scene, because I think that might have been one of my favorite scenes to happen so far.
So we have a long history of superhero costumers, right? Mm-hmm. They tend to range from either these very high fashion, like, oh, crap, why am I missing her name? From The Incredibles.
Edna Mode.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, I love her.
So from, like, your Edna Modes, your very stylish upper class, to, like, your, oh, my God, names are really hard for me tonight, apparently. Alfred, who makes Batman suits, who's originally, or you have, like, Lucius Fox, who does the technical aspects of it. They tend to be male or have very, like, strict masculine personality. So it was nice to see a man who was like, let's go shopping and find you, like, the best outfit.
Like, fur, latex, whatever.
We're going to figure it out for you. It was fun. Yes,
well, that wasn't his suggestion. That was hers. She met him there.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
She met him there, the guy.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So even it still subverts a stereotype within the superhero genre. And it's exciting because clothing should, like, in my opinion, clothing is hella fun. Like, it is ridiculously fun to get dressed in the morning. It is fun to dress other people. And a superhero costume says so much about, like, your interconnected workings. There's a reason Batman is always in black or in gray, or, like, you have Static Shock has the long coat because it was popular in the 90s. Like, it sets a lot about who you are, where you come from, and your time. And so for her to have fun putting together a costume instead of just reaching into her closet for whatever might be there, it shows that, one, she's willing to take on... She did.
She had
too much booty.
But I loved that scene.
Yay.
But she had this whole moment of, like, hey, I can, like, create another personality. And she did, because what she's been before was, like, Street Fighter, like, giant clothes, and I'll just, like, go take on anybody in the street who kind of pisses me off. But now she's doing what her daddy does not do, which is, like, let me slow down and investigate in a really intense way. Like, let me explore my options. Let me go talk to people who are close to this. Like, it's really fun to see her do detective work, and it was great to see her in the blue, like, funky outfit. It was
with
amazing.
And the blonde wig.
Oh, yeah. The wig was on point.
Slayed.
That, man, if I ain't never seen a swoop like that, I was like, I said, what is this? Swoop real fleeky out here. She was cute.
But I do love that we get to see her, like, investigate with the whole newspaper and the potential cover-up, because it's such a nice difference from Jefferson, and it kind of gets you excited for when they're finally going to work together, because... You're like, obviously...
She's the brain.
Yeah, you're going to see her... Like, you can see how their strengths are different, and it's like, the thought of them coming together, it's just like...
Well, he operates like a beat cop. She operates like a detective, and that is fascinating, because it kind of makes you wonder how Justice is going to fit in to the trio.
Jennifer.
I kind of...
Let's guess.
I feel like she's going to be maybe, like, the man on the street. She'll definitely be the rookie, but I also feel like she's going to be the person...
The hot hit, the fighter.
No, so, like, she knows everybody. Like, they call her the queen of the school for a reason. It's not just because your dad is a principal. Because you walk around with a certain air of confidence. You pretty much have lived at that school before you went there. You know everybody. Everybody knows you. Across school districts, girl. Like, people know who you are. I feel like she's going to be able to do more of the spy work. More of the, like, regular clothes, getting basic information back to the team kind of personality.
That makes sense. Undercover one. I love that.
Yeah, I like that. Undercover, yeah.
I feel
she's
that.
She's good.
I feel that. So, what, like, okay, I'm having a brain shortage, so someone can take this.
Jennifer's costume. Jennifer. I mean, Jennifer's fight.
Yeah, let's talk about Jennifer's fight. Sure. I low-key think, I agree with the, like, you know, man on the street thing, but I low-key think she's going to have her daddy's, like, I don't want to say temper.
Oh, she's going to have
But it. I think, like...
She's going to be ready to fight at all times.
Yeah, the ready to put hands on deck
That's where her rookie theory comes into play, for sure.
Yeah, like...
But during this fight scene, she had a lot of patience. She had, like, because they came after her. At the end of the day, you got every right to defend yourself, take them out, because they was doing too much. But she was real calm. She played it real cool. She let them talk bad to her. And, you know, she just threw her little comebacks out. But once homegirl pushed her, she was like, oh, hell no.
No, when she took that swing. No, that's
and
what
so
happened.
She didn't even take the swing. Yes, she backed
did.
Back.
No, she swung.
The girl
and then she
ripped
moved.
Her. She backed back. Like, the girl didn't even touch her, but she grabbed, like, and then the other one grabbed her arm.
This is like a cafeteria school fight where nobody knows what really happened.
That was the second one. The first girl, then the pink swung, and when she moved, the other girl that she had already pushed down.
Right, they didn't get to hit her, though.
I know.
But she did take the swing, and I do agree that that was the inciting incident. Thank you. And I feel like Jennifer, like, she... When you walk away twice and you're still following me, you're asking for an ass whooping now.
Yeah, really, because she was real calm, then she walked away. First girl swinged and hit her second girl with her jacket. She like, okay, now y'all playing too much. And she just let them have it real peacefully and calm. It took 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Which
it took
funny.
2 seconds to have them both on the ground. And it's just like, why did y'all even bother her?
Do you guys feel like she took it too far, though? Because after she has the girl in submission with her hand behind her back, she definitely pulls up again to break it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, she did what she had to do at the end of the day.
For me, it was interesting to see her, Jennifer's and Anissa's fighting style. Because where Anissa's hard punches, she comes at you real quick. Jennifer's more quiet and smooth. And just suave about it. Like, their fighting stances are definitely different, but they're all very interesting to watch.
Anissa's more of a boxer. She's got those power-heavy punches, mostly. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jennifer is more like martial artist, where she's using a lot of somebody else's weight against them.
Because she's so kick-hung, girl. Like, get her down.
Mm-hmm. Which I think plays into their superpowers. Well, I mean, we'll see that it'll play into Jennifer's, because she's supposed to have, you know, pretty close to Jefferson's powers. Mm-hmm. But we obviously see it's already kind of Anissa's style. The whole heavy punches and whatnot plays into her superpowers.
I love the fight. I really did. I appreciate it. Because that was kind of me in high school. Like, I never incited a fight. But when you put your hands, like, my parents said, never do the first punch. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But once you come for me, that's great, because, like, I don't
get
in trouble.
You give me a license.
I don't get in trouble because I didn't incite anything, but if I beat you after that, that's not my fault. That's a personal problem that you brought onto yourself. Like, seriously.
Okay, so can I also just commend, one, we got lesbian moms! Yay! I love lesbians. And they came in hot. And again, what I appreciate about this show is the way they take what could be negative stereotypes and exposes the culture, essentially.
Yeah.
So you have two moms coming in, and one is just real hot-headed. Like, someone laid hands on my baby, two doctors to fix this.
And you gonna pay
cost.
We can sue you now.
I will take all of you down. I'm pissed.
But they didn't have the whole story. The girl lied.
Not only did she not have the whole story, but that's how moms react. Like,
yeah, that is.
I don't want to say, like, just black moms. A lot of moms will get angry if you put a hand on their child. But, like, because black women are often seen as angry, like, that angry mom coming in can often be handled in a really sour and terrible way and make the situation a lot worse. I love the idea of being like, look, all she needs to do is be spoken to in a way that shows respect for her and her baby.
Yeah.
And she's going to be very reasonable in 2 seconds. Like, I love the cut from just like, just come in and sit down. It's cool. We're going to find out what happened. Our girl's not crazy, so something happened here. But I was wondering how you guys felt about her punishment. Like,
what's her punishment again? I feel like I missed it.
She just grounded. Basically got grounded, essentially, because they're not gonna hit kids, on the CW.
Sure,
in a black household, yes.
Yeah, no, we can't just make, that's a whole other can of worms. We just don't want to get into.
No, that's a whooping. That's not a spank, but cool. So her grounding, I love Jefferson's whole proud, like, dad moment. He just, like, two girls, and, like, you came out with not a scratch. Like, it was just awesome to see, because he doesn't want his daughter to fight, but he likes the fact that two on one, you can handle yourself. Lynn, not that she was far in her punishment, how she like felt about it, but she's like, you taught me to defend myself. Like, I didn't incite this. I didn't start it. Like, should I just like have like let myself be hit? That'd have been my argument if Lynn was my mom.
Like, well, it seems like they were more upset about the lie of omission as opposed to the fight.
Yeah, but like, she didn't say anything about it.
That's me though. I'm like, I just didn't tell you.
Which, I mean, like, I do think Jennifer should have said something, just because like, you clearly know you did something to that girl's hand. I mean,
she broke.
Because you kind of saw the moment where it, like, clicked and she just went a little bit more. So you should have said something. But to get in trouble.
Well, she came after her man, technically.
Girl, it's high school. Everybody gonna come after your man. But
and it's high school. Like, don't call a man a cripple. I think she was okay when it was just about her. Mm-hmm. But then you brought Khalil into it, and then she was like,
fine then.
Yeah, she was just like, she got
so now you mad because he dumped you.
Yeah.
Like, she was just blowing it all off and then walking away at the same time. Like, she wasn't on that until they put their hands on her. Now I got to hurt you.
Yeah, I think I understood, like, them being frustrated with her not saying anything, but to punish her for defending her, like, did you want her to get her ass beat? Like, I'm confused.
Right.
Because, like, if I would have come home and, like, gotten my ass handed to me, my mom would have been like, see, what we're not going to do is be punks in this household. So,
oh, yes.
I would have gotten in trouble for that. Like,
You get in trouble if you fight, you get in trouble if you don't. So it's like, at least for my parents, it was just more like, did you do the first punch? No. Did you defend yourself? Yes. You're not, okay, you're good. You're not in trouble. We'll handle this with the school, but like right now, you're not in trouble because I always taught you if somebody does the first punch and you're defending yourself, you're good.
I feel like she was
good. I don't think I even want to talk about growing up in a black family and fights in high school and middle school. Because y'all will be like, in any regular black family, you go out there and you get into a fight. If you get your butt beat, you get your butt beat when you get home, too. Yeah. So you better win that fight.
Not
so,
my experience at all. My parents, and they were like, they knew I wasn't a fighter anyway. They were like, if you're going to fight, please defend yourself. If you get beat up, like, they'll probably be stupid home. Don't worry. We got you.
And then we going to go and find that kid, and we going to watch y'all fight in front of me.
That's a
whole
lot
and then,
of anger you know, and like, that I cannot identify with. I have hippie, yeah, very gentle parents. But I feel like she should have told her father
then
just
your brothers
because
and sisters got to jump in. All types of stuff.
All the family got to come through.
All the family.
I got to bring a cousin. Jail time and fines. I ain't got money to pay.
Ain't nobody even got personal charges in the hood.
I can't even explain to y'all about the regular...
Speaking of like weird family dynamics, so we see Tobias and his dad's situation, which was just like, I feel like a lot to take in. Am I the only one who feels that way?
I was sad because I don't like Tobias. And so it kind of like hurt me to feel bad for him
because they humanized him.
Yeah, it kind of like humanized him a little bit, and you see why he's so angry, because a lot of times when you suffer trauma like that in your childhood and you see, you know, abuse within either the parents or, you know, just somebody else in your family that is abusing you in any kind of way, where they be physical, mental, verbal, whatever is going on, it's like you are the way you are now because of what you experience. And it kind of makes me understand where he comes from and a lot of his pain. And at the same sense, it's just like he never had an opportunity to channel that pain somewhere. He never had an opportunity to address it. Like, he watching his little sister get hit because she's standing up for him because his daddy, you know, blaming him for his issues because he's an albino child. And so it made me really upset, and I was just felt really bad for him and, you know, real emotional. And because I'm like, dang, I don't like Tobias, but I gotta feel bad for him right now.
What I thought was really interesting about the whole thing wasn't so much his dad, but was the fact that his mom left. For some reason, I thought his mom died. I just assumed. I didn't necessarily, like, have any...
She chucked the deuces.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, I'm very interested. I wonder if that plays into the relationship with Lady Eve. And, well, obviously, it kind of does. But I'm also wondering, like, is that someone we're going to see pop back up down the road? Because, like, by not killing her off, obviously, there's some type of... I feel like they could easily bring her back or make it some type of, like, storyline.
Real bum, for sure.
He probably gonna kill her, too.
Yeah, I felt really bad. Like you said, it really humanized Tobias in a way, because villains don't just become villains or something that, like, that, or even evil. Like, yeah. There's ways and reasons and ways they just get to the reason why they are. But what I found interesting... That Tobias' dad, played by T.C. Carson from Living Single. I have to shout that out because, yes, it gave me all the feels. Thanks, Sergio, for saying that.
He was so disrespectful.
It's something he said, though. He was just like, I clothed you, I fed you, and I stayed. But just because you stay, and you're still a terrible person... That doesn't make you better because you stayed. Like, that's such a hurtful thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, I would rather you leave than treat me like that.
Because I'm adopted. For anyone that doesn't know, I'm adopted.
Really?
So I'm a foster kid, yeah. So
I find out more about you every episode. This is crazy. I thought I knew you.
I'm a foster kid, so, like, that scene kind of reminded me of my mom in a little ways. Because she, like, in her, like, when she would get really emotional, she was just like, but do you love me? And that's such a, like, that really hurt me because obviously I love you. You're my mother. You're the reason I'm here. But I hate you at the same time. And that's, like, a very different spectrum to be on. So for him to be like, I clothed you, I fed you, but you're still horrible and you're verbally abusive, that doesn't make you better because you stayed. That still makes you the monster and the villain at the end of the day.
That makes you worse than the person that left, because you could have just left. You ain't have to stay and treat me like that. Like, bye, you chuck the deuces too, because you don't want to be here. Like, don't stay and you don't want to be here. That's going to hurt me more to know that you hate me.
I thought it was I live with you. I thought it was interesting because they left him for dead, correct?
Yes. They left him broken back. Villain
mistake number one.
Yeah. But also, I thought it was interesting how, like, they leave him for dead because he goes in for an embrace. And, like, I feel like it was an interesting, like...
I was like, dude, you're such a fulfiller. I'm, like, watching that scene. I'm like, dude,
well,
you're
one,
stupid.
I'm like...
I mean, he wanted to... what he said while he was killing him was profound and why he killed him like that. Because he basically said, like... Yeah, you stayed, you clothed me, and you fed me, but you didn't do it in love. Mm. And so now I'm going to give you this embrace of love, but then I'm going to take you out because you ain't do it right.
And you're going to die painfully and slowly.
It's
interesting to think that the dad maybe wanted the hug. Like, this was the confusing part to me because you didn't force him into the grip. Like, he came into it. Mm. And so this idea of, like, how far back does that go?
Yeah.
Like, how far back is that bereft love, like, traveling through the line?
Because maybe he was treated like that. And at the end of the day, he's probably not man enough to be the bigger person and actually, you know, apologize for his wrongs and give that kind of embrace and show that kind of compassion. So when it's done to him, all he can do is accept it because he doesn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you accepted it to your death.
It's also interesting. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying it's also interesting that they felt like the siblings feel that by taking him out, he'll be able to move on. Like this idea of, well, if we can cleanse the person who's haunted us most, we can take out all of our villains, which is a really profound and deep thought. But I also think deeply flawed, and because taking out an old man is not nearly as challenging as taking out a physically fit superhuman.
The fact that she said, I found Aldrich, like, that type of fool was hiding from y'all? Like, it was hard to find him?
I
feel like I feel like this season's really gonna boil down to, like, who can come to, like, a better sense of self, like, Tobias versus Jefferson, because Jefferson's obviously struggling with, like, impulse control and, you know, like, being able to get past, like, this vengeance and doing what's, like, for the betterment of everybody. And Tobias is kind of the exact opposite, where he's just obsessed with, like, getting power and whatnot. And he thinks, like, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to feel better about all the things I went through. And if I get this, then I'm going to feel better. So I think what it's really going to come down to, like, the theme of this season, if you will, is going to be, like, understanding a sense of self. So I'm kind of curious to see, like, how that plays out.
And I was just going to say that, like, what Joel said about, you know, thinking that going back and that's what you're going to deal with, slaying your demons, is definitely flawed. It's definitely not healthy, because I feel like when you're really going to slay, when you're really ready to let it go and you're really ready to move on, it's seriously just going to be about forgiveness. And not just forgiving that person, you have to forgive yourself for what you went through, because that's the only way you're actually going to be able to move on. Until you can actually forgive them and let it all go, you're still going to be miserable, and it's still going to eat on your soul until you do.
True.
Sorry, I got really philosophical. I'll be all back to being happy right now. I'll go back to being happy, guys.
What do you guys think? One, I am sinking in this chair. That's fine.
I was wondering if you were going to be like, why did you not short,
though? I know. I was like,
out of the heavens.
I was looking at Shane, and I was like, why am I at a lower thing? And then as I was talking, I felt my chair go, doo, doo, doo. And I was like, okay. Anyway, what do you guys think, or how do you think Jefferson's father ties into all of this? We kind of got little tidbits of, like,
him being the reporter that was letting it all out.
But if you can guess, how do you think it's all tying in?
Tying in the fact that Jefferson figured out... Because the thing is, if Tobias has a serum, and he's... We don't exactly know how old Tobias is. So maybe if Tobias killed his father when he was, what, 12? Because I'm assuming that's when his father died.
Well, wasn't there a photo that Anissa came across, and it's Jefferson and his dad, and Jefferson looks like...
But it's Tobias when Tobias was... Well, how he is now, because remember, he doesn't age. So maybe Tobias is way older than what he was. He couldn't have killed Jefferson's father when he was 12. Who are you saying was 12?
Well, if Jefferson's dad got killed when he was 12, and then if Tobias was a part of the experiment,
why do you think his father was killed when he was 12?
Why do you think he was 12?
Then I don't know how Gambi met Jefferson besides him being 12 then.
I thought... Oh, okay. So I see what you're saying. So you're saying that because Gambi says, I've known you since you were 12, that we think that his dad died and that's when he came into his life. That's not a bad assumption. Yeah. We don't know that 100% for sure
yet. But no, Gambi been there the whole ride.
But it seems, to me, the connection is just, as we know it so far, is he was investigating something. Kids were disappearing, which we know Tobias has no problem watching kids die or taking out kids himself.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of link there. Lady Eve and her syndicate of unknown villains stepped in and was like, squash that mess. We cannot have an article out about the people being disappearing and all of this other stuff. And somehow, I think Gambi was involved. He, had a hand or was involved in... Okay. The distribution or handling of the death of the children.
Yeah.
So, I think his dad plays a part in this because as a journalist and as a reporter, you have to do a lot of fact checking. You have to do a lot of research and things like that. So, I believe what happened was he found the serum that made these kids have either superpowers or have some type of thing of what happened, you know, with the civil, whatever was going on. Yeah, I feel like he found that, and once he found it, he had to automatically die because these people know the secret. Because now people will know the secret to what's going on, and they didn't want the secret let out. Because as a reporter, if you're a real journalist, no matter what, you're going to get your story out. And if this is a story you're banking your life on that's about to get you the big butts and take you to new heights, then you're going to do everything that you can. As you can see, Anissa found it in his storage at the end. So apparently he took that, stored it away, and then he went and, you know, they killed him. So it was just like... He got the answers, and now it's locked away, and now he's dead.
It'll be interesting to see how the serum plays into it, too. They were talking about Tuskegee Airmen who were tested on purposely contracted syphilis, given syphilis, mm-hmm. and then tested with different
The thing about it is, we've learned that for so long, you know? Well, I learned that, you know, that actually happened before. Mm-hmm. So now that they're playing, the superpower thing within it is just okay, so the same people who actually in the real world did their research on that is probably the people doing their research on it in this fantasy world. And then he just so happened to be one of the reporters that decided to look into it, you know?
Yeah. Do you think Green Light and the serum have, some type of, common.
Yes. It seems ground? Like it. Seems it. Like they both give you superpowers. Yeah,
even if it's temporarily.
They both make you crazy.
Okay, so I want to change my theory a little bit.
Okay.
So...
I thought you told us yours.
No.
She said she was going to change it a little bit.
I'm changing it a little bit. Because if Jefferson got his powers when they were in college. So if his dad died while he was in college, that could be the trigger to give him his powers. Because technically we don't really know... Obviously the comic book has its origin, but they haven't really delved into the origin of Jefferson's powers for the show. So if they're going to stay the course or not, I do not know. So I'm going to base it off that.
I was going to say, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the comics, he has a belt and eventually he kind of absorbs the powers from the belt.
If you know origin.
If you know in the chat, I think that's the origin is he had a belt that gave him some of those powers and then eventually he kind of absorbed.
Well, however, the rest of the nine kids got it. He probably got it with them, you know? And then his daddy probably didn't know until he started trying to research it.
I wonder if we're going to see said nine kids as adults or if they're dead or...
Well, that could be all the characters everybody's asking about that are going to come to this show or coming throughout the season, which would be actually really interesting to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm so down if we actually meet the nine kids. Because what do they look like now?
I think all those kids are dead. Yeah, I kind of feel like they're...
They're probably dead.
And a lot of people out here with powers. I thought little homeboy that he was saving in the beginning. I thought he had superpowers until I realized he was on that stuff. Mm. And then
Well, somebody said that.
And that was a really good scene, y'all. Mm. When he stopped the white cops from killing the black boy.
So where was you with
Trayvon and Michael Brown?
We don't have real black lightning.
Where was you with all these people?
Next time, tase him.
Next time, use a taser. They said, yes, sir.
Yes.
that's all you had to do.
Can we talk about the other guy that tried to shoot him? Because, you don't care who I am. You really think this gun is really going to stop me and you know who I am? That was a really smart thing.
Oh, the one who was storing the drugs.
And then you called me a black nigga. Really? That's the words you want to use today? As, I'm suited up and I'm ready to action? But okay, go ahead. Go white supremacists. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It is.
But he the one that gave away Joey's name.
That is, well, true. Like, dude, you're about to get, like, Black Lightning, so.
True. Let's get into, since we have to start wrapping up, let's get into predictions. Because I actually saw a pretty good prediction last week, and I kind of vibe with it a little bit.
So I watched it online, and I didn't see the preview for next week. Either. What looks like is happening next week? Did anybody see it?
I saw someone in the comments say that we see Jefferson's dad die, or we see Jefferson's dad die.
Oh, yeah, we see Jefferson's dad die, and we see Anissa in action doing something else.
Okay.
In her suit.
Oh, like the one she has now?
Yeah, same suit.
Ooh. Someone last week in the comments, and I wish I could remember because it was an interesting, a couple people actually said it, that they think Khalil actually doesn't have, like
I saw that in the comments, yeah, too. Like, they think that Tobias paid the people to tell him that.
Yeah.
That or mess with his,
permanently. Yeah. He's not permanently, like, his spinal cord isn't permanently damaged, and that he actually probably can walk, but that Tobias is playing into that. And maybe
either pay them to tell him that he can't walk or mess with the charts.
So all we've seen of Khalil is the nurses outside when Jennifer had to be like, hey, he can hear what the hell you're saying. Like, shut up. If they were, like, tipped off, maybe. Weirder things have happened. I kind of hope not. Only because, like, tragedy happens sometimes. And there's life after that. And yeah. I feel like when we erase it, when we're like, ha-ha, psych, just kidding, you're fine, it takes away some of the value and humanity that story initially brought in.
I agree.
So I prefer for him to be a Jimmy of Degrassi and be like, no, these are real consequences, and we're just going to live with them for the rest of the show.
Jimmy had a hard life, so I prefer it to be fake, and he get up and he start walking and running again. Because
Jimmy
actually, because that one,
Jimmy went on to have a successful rap career.
He did.
He did.
An amazing rap career.
And so, he walks, you know, and he lives.
Predictions, who else hasn't given one yet?
My prediction, based on the promo, so I guess his father died when he was 12, and Tobias looks the same. So, you know, that answers my question, that it ties into when he was 12.
And he grew up trying to find this man, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he grew up trying to find Tobias, and, you know. So I'm like, that's how Gambi comes into it. That's when Gambi comes in, when he was 12 years old after his father died. Whether Gambi indirectly knew some things, or whatever ASA is, like, in all their contracts. So my prediction is we're going to find, obviously, more about, like, his dad's death. I want to see more, like, just Gambi's origin as well. And I really hope Jefferson, like, really takes stock and realizes that he also needed to practice what he preaches to his daughters. Because, because seriously, if you do not take time, you will end up like you did 9 years ago in that bathroom, bleeding almost to death.
Yeah. My prediction is that Gambi created Jefferson as Black Lightning. I think that he had something to do with him obtaining his powers, whether it was because he saw him struggling to go after these people and he didn't think he had enough strength and so he did it, or if he was working with the bad guys at the time and Jefferson's one of the, you know, 9 or maybe 10 kids, and is the one that got away and he was like, crap, now I gotta raise this kid and make sure that bad things don't happen. But I think Gambi is the reason Jefferson has his powers. I don't think Jefferson knows, and I think he's gonna be pretty pissed when he finds out.
Ooh, yes. Willie in the chat says, great, I finally get to catch the show live. I want to tell Portia I love her. She's my fave member, and be my Valentine with heart eyes.
She's mine, so it's awkward.
We've taken her already.
We've already claimed her.
Next year. We can do it next year. I can be your Valentine next year. Thank you so much. I love you, too. Happy Valentine's Day. So my prediction...
That was so sweet.
But my prediction... I really think, you know, I did see that Lady Eve, you know, got mad at Tobias. I really think that, you know, she's going to start coming for him because she did send him that albino magic. Like, you know, because she said, you know, they start finding random albinos, chopping up their bones and sending them stuff. And so I think she's going to start coming for him in the worst way. And he's going to be, him and his sister is going to be upset with that because they're trying to get to the top of the food chain and she's there and, you know, now she's an enemy and it's just like, how is this going to work out?
It'll be interesting to see if Tobias, I don't mean to cut you off, but if Tobias and Lady Eve have the same powers, if she also doesn't age, and then, like, Tobias has been around for a long time, it seems. He had political power before. And now he's kind of on the outs, but my guess is Lady Eve has some enemies of her own. I think they're going to start fighting each other soon.
Oh, I saw this, I saw a snippet of something. I don't know if it was at the hospital or what, but it was a bulletin board, and it had Tobias's face on there, and it said wanted. He was spotted here or seen here or something that.
I think that was the first episode as well. Where they,
was that here? Was that this episode or next?
I think that was the first episode when it aired. Well, we were at the police station. That's when we saw Tobias for the first time in the, because the camera panned exactly on that. So he's in hiding. Technically, nobody really knows Tobias is still around or still in Freeland, and he wants to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I feel like, you know, on this next episode, I don't know how it's going to happen, but they are going to, even if it's at the end, they're going to finally see each other face to face, or Jefferson's going to get a glimpse of him. And I think Anissa is, you know, going to rule the world. And her butt kicking.
I just hope Jennifer does get her power soon. However, I am super excited to see Anissa's journey, because I know people in the chat really want Jennifer to get her powers. But right now, I think it is, because Anissa also is older, to focus on her journey of getting the powers and how she's dealing with before we get into Jennifer's power, too.
Yeah.
We will have to find out. You guys let us know in the comments. Tweet at us what you guys think, what your predictions are. You guys have been really awesome in the live chats and on Twitter and everything about telling us your opinions. So where can they find you, ladies? Portia?
Hey, y'all. Y'all can find me everywhere at Portia Carter. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Portia Carter.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. This Sunday, the 18th, 12:40, the Regency on Victory. Come hang out with all the Black Panther folks. Getting your Black Panther Sunday best. It's going to be lit. Saturday, the day before that, I will be on a panel with Collider at the Honey Pot. We're going to be interviewing Ruth E. Gold and talking all things Ruth E. Gold. Ruth E. Carter, who's the costume designer for Black Panther. It's going to be very crazy, and a whole bunch of other folks will hopefully drop by, so check that out. And tonight on Magicians, right here.
Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, just Shay Jones with an apostrophe on Facebook, and Love Shea Butter on Snapchat.
And my name's Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. We will see you guys next week.
We might be
from
having
executive
some
executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.